we ought to talk about dying, because the Word of God talks about dying. 2 Samuel 14, verse 14, we must needs die. And we are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Job 7, 1, is there not an appointed time to man on the earth? I shall sleep in the dust. Psalms 89, 48, what man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Hebrews 9, 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. We ought to talk about dying. The Word of God talks about death. And then the seasons talk about death. Spring comes, new life appears, the little plants are so soft and tender, they grow up. Through the summer we watch the full bloom of the roses, the other flowers, the trees, the gardens flourish. And then one night the fall wind blows, and that fall wind puts the stamp of death upon the corn, the stamp of death upon the flowers. One day, one morning, the frost is there, and then everything is falling over. Everything is withering and dying. And Isaiah compares the flesh to those flowers and those trees and the grass. He says, the voice said, cry. And I said, well, what shall I cry? He said, cry, all flesh is grass. And the glory thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of God bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. We won't. We're going to die. Everything about us talks about death. God's Word talks about death. The seasons talk about death. The plants and flowers talk about death. And you may not be hearing it, but your body's talking about death. Turn back to Ecclesiastes 12. Your body is delivering to you a message. And that message is this. You're dying. You're dying. You're dying. That's what your body's saying. When I was reading that scripture in Ecclesiastes 12 a moment ago, did it make sense to you? Some of you, I know it did. Verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. What is that? The keepers of the house. Those are the arms. Those are the arms that defend the house. This body is a house. And these arms defend the house. These arms work and provide for the house. These arms clothe the house. These arms feed the house. And the day comes when I get letters from people in the TV audience. I can almost tell you how old they are by reading the letter. I can almost tell you how old they are by looking at the address on the envelope. Older people tremble. Their arms tremble. That's what he's talking about. And the strong men shall bow themselves. What are those? Those are the legs. The strong men that have carried this body about, taken every step, hundreds and hundreds of millions of steps these legs have taken. They're getting tired. They don't take as many steps anymore. They'd rather rest. They're bowing themselves. And the grinders cease because they're few. Those are the teeth. Some of you losing your teeth have already lost them. And those that look out of the windows be darkened. Those are the eyes. You don't see as well as you used to. Your body's delivering a message to you. You don't see as well. We joke about it, and it is. Somebody said every age, even old age, has its compensation, you know. Somebody said, well, name one. Well, the eyes get dim. They don't see as well. And the doors be shut in the streets. Older people don't have quite as much to say. The lips grow thin and tight. And the sound of the grinding is low, and they rise up at the voice of a bird. don't sleep as well as they used to. The daughters of music shall be brought low, don't sing as well as they used to. Don't sing like you used to. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, you don't get older people up in airplanes too often. You don't get them up on tall buildings. Fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish. You know, the almond tree, we don't have them around here, but when they're in full bloom, they're snow white. Snow white. That's what's happening. This hair is turning gray. Someday it'll be snow white, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. What's happening? What's happening? The keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow themselves, and the teeth are getting fewer and fewer, and the hair's getting white, and wrinkles on the brow. What's happening? The weary body, the failing eye, the falling hair, the silent ear, the wrinkled brow. What's happening? Read it. Because man's going to his long home. That's what's happening. The silver cord's going to be loose, the golden bowl will be broken, and the dust is returning to the dust as it was. That's what's happening. I'm dying. Now, this subject, we ought to talk about dying. The Bible talks about dying. Everything around us talks about dying. This suit I've got on this morning tells me the story of death, because in another year or two, it's going to be threadbare. It's going to be old. It's going to be worn out. And my body's telling me about death. Everything preaches about death. And this is a subject on which it's impossible to say anything new. It's all been said again and again. But the only problem is this. It's not being heard. We're not listening. You know, the Lord said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." But we're not listening. My problem here is not people objecting to what I'm preaching. My problem is people are not hearing what I'm preaching. We have no problem here with people fighting the truth. We have the problem of folks listening to it. Nobody's listening. Nobody's hearing. We're talking about these things, but nobody's listening. Now, death is not unusual. It's not uncommon. You think about this. From the days of Abel to this present day, every human being has died. Now, is that unusual? Is that uncommon? Ever think of the millions of people who lived on this earth, with the exception of Enoch and Elijah, every one of them, has died in his own time. He's died. There's no call for eloquence here. There's no call for fine language or poetical effort. Amos summed it up plainly, clearly, positively, without any frills. Prepare to meet thy God. That's the way he summed it up. Prepare to meet thy God. And I want you to listen to Job. I'd like for you to turn over here to Job 16. Job 16. Verse 22. Job 16:22. When a few years are come. When a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. Look at Job 16:22. Now just hold your Bible open right there. Let's look at that a little while. When a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. You know the first word that caught my eye in this scripture? We're prone to recognize that all men die. When I said a while ago, from Abel to this present day, every person has died. What was your thought? Well, that's certainly true. Nobody doubts that. Everybody's died. All men die. It's appointed unto men to die. All men must go to the grave. You know what we're slow to recognize? I shall die. The preacher. I'm going to die. The singer. The deacon. The elder. All of us, each one of us, I shall die. I shall die. Job says here, when a few years have come, I shall go. And that's what's difficult. And we'll be perfectly honest with you. We're taught the lessons of God in his own way. by his own means, by whatever means it pleases God to teach us. But our problem is having a heart willing to learn. You know when I realized that I was going to die? Personally, I'm talking about. And this is where it has to be. You don't believe anything till you experience it. I might preach. I preached about death. I read about death. I conducted hundreds and hundreds of funerals. But really, I myself was so far removed from the reality of death and actually believing that I was going to die till something happened. I'd buried a son, but he was young. He was 21 and was killed suddenly in a war, you know. So that really didn't teach me that I was going to die. Now, as I say, God teaches you in his own way. And I'd buried my mother and my father, and I'd preached a lot of funerals. I'd been to your home when death had visited your home. But one day a few years ago, my brother died. We were only 21 months apart. We had grown up together. We'd shared so many things together. And it suddenly, when the phone call came, somebody said, "Your brother died. My brother died. Your brother died." And it dawned on me that it became a definite reality to me in that hour that I was going to die. He was 48 years of age. He was in good health, strong. He and I were about the same size, almost the same age. And it dawned on me in that hour. And it's certainly true. Now, to me, it's a reality. Now I'm actually expecting to die from that time, from that experience. I have been expecting any time the summons of God to come. Like when our Lord came to Mary and Martha and someone walked in and said, "The Master's calling for you. The Master's." And since that time, and I don't know how God will teach you, but he has taught me. I've learned it. I'm expecting it. If I died today, it would be no surprise to me at all. For the last several years, I've totally expected God to call me. Any time, any day. It does not frighten me. It does not call me, cause me undue concern. I'm expecting it since that time. And we need to be taught this. This is what Job learned this. He says, when a few years have come, I'm going to go. I'm going to go. And this is what I'm preaching toward and what I'm directing my message toward you personally is I pray that God may bring home to your heart and mind the reality of your death. Your death. You say, "Preacher, you're being morbid." I'm not being morbid. I just know it's a reality to me. I have experienced it. I'm expecting the summons. God has said it over and over and over again. Now I believe it. "Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Is that real to you? It's not real to you till you actually experience it. "It's appointed unto me and once to die, and after that, say not, I'm going to town and do this, that, and the other. Say, the Lord willing, I'm going." Well, there's only one way we're going to learn to say, "The Lord willing, I'm going to do this," and that's to really enter into it. If he's willing, I will. If he's not, I won't. And as a possibility, I won't. Somebody says, "Well, preacher, when I make plans to do things, it just doesn't occur to me to say, 'The Lord willing, I'll do this, that, and that.'" You know why it doesn't occur to you? Because you fully expect to do it. You fully expect to have tomorrow. You fully expect to have next year. You fully expect to finish out your working days. You fully expect to retire. You fully expect to have a home somewhere in a warmer climate. You fully expect that. There's not any doubt in your mind that you might not have it. Well, now, when this becomes a reality, you quit planning the future because you don't expect to have a future. You expect to die. Not that you especially want to leave this earth. You'd like to be with Christ, which is far better. To die is gain. But you're just expecting it. That's Job was expecting it. And I'm saying that God, I pray that God will teach every one of us this, that we might enter into it by experience. I'm going to die. I'm expecting the summons. I will not be surprised if it comes today or tomorrow or 10 years from now, but I'm fully expecting it. I'm going to die. All right, what's the second thing? That's the certain person. Now, the certain journey, he says, I shall go. When a few years have come, I shall go. There's no power or force that can prevent it. I'm going to go. I've heard about death. I've read about death. I'm going to actually experience it now. I'm going to go. I've heard about judgment. I've read about judgment. I've preached about judgment. Now I'm going to actually stand there. I've heard about eternity. I've read about eternity. I've preached about eternity. Now I'm going to actually enter eternity. I'm going to go. I ask you to place yourself in this position. Now, right now, God's going to call me. I'm going to go. Go from this place. Some of the things that are so important to me right now become of no importance. And some of the things that were of less importance to me become the most important things in the world. For example, somebody says, well, the preacher died. Yeah, was he rich or poor? Well, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? He's dead. Well, was he old or young? Well, really, what difference does it make? He's dead. Was he famous or unknown? Well, what difference does it make whether 50 people are standing around his bed or 2 people? He's dead. Was he strong or weak? Was he tall or short? Was he educated or uneducated? Was he black or white? Was he a follower or a leader? What difference does it make? Did he know Christ? Oh, that makes a lot of difference. And that's really the only difference, the sole issue. Oh, we're trying our best. We're giving ourselves to these things, these vanities. We're spinning our wheels. We're giving our lives. We're driving ourselves. We're burning the candle at both ends. These things are so important. And there's not a blessed thing this side of heaven or hell that's important to you, really important, but one thing. Do you know Christ? In that hour of death, there's only one relationship that matters, and that's my relationship with Him. In that hour of death, there's only one accomplishment that matters, and that's what He accomplished at Calvary. In that hour of death, there is only one profession that counts, and that is, will He profess me? All of these fine ideas about our goodness and our works and our accomplishments, all those things and our glory and our fame and all these things, they melt like the frost before the morning sun when we come to die. There was a Mr. Durham who was a famous preacher of Scotland. He was the author of many fine books. He wrote one of the best books on Solomon's Song. He came to die. A friend was standing by his bed and he looked at him. And he said, my dear brother, for all that I've written, for all that I've preached, and for all that I've done, and for all that I've learned, there's only one scripture which I can remember. There's only one to which I dare take hold now. All that my Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. All of these great experiences that we've had and the knowledge that we have secured and all these things that lead us to believe we're somebody in the world and somebody in the church and somebody in the town, these things are of no account whatsoever. When we come to die, death reveals the truth about us. Death blows away the chaff. That which we thought was wheat is nothing but chaff. When a man comes to die, he must look to God's mercy as a sinner. He must cling to Christ as a sinner. He must wait upon the sovereign mercy of God as a sinner. When children of God die, they die as seeking sinners. Dying men want reality. Not sham and hypocrisy and flimsy professions. Dying men want reality. They want to know about an atonement. They want to know about a redeemer. They want to know about a mediator. They want to know about a relationship with God. I shall go. 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 Then the third thing I see here is that certain hour. That certain hour. It says when a few years are come. I wonder if some of us are reading that a few months. Or perhaps some of us are reading this when a few weeks have passed. I shall go. Could it be possible that somebody here this morning is reading this when a few hours are come? I shall go. I just know this. Turn back one page to John 14. That time is determined by the Lord. That time is determined by the Lord. Read John 14. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one? And bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one, seeing his days are determined. The number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Let me teach you a second lesson this morning. The first one, a lot of things I teach I haven't experienced, but we still must teach them. We teach perfection, though we have not experienced it. We aim for perfect holiness, though we haven't experienced it. We teach the perfect law of God, though we haven't experienced it. But some of these things we have experienced. And as I said to you a moment ago, I'm telling you the truth. I'm expecting the summons to die. I'm amazed that I'm still alive. It's by God's providence. David Brainerd was gone at 29. McShane at 29. Augustus Toplady, who wrote Rock of Ages, was dead at 38. Charles Spurgeon, 58. And you go on naming people of God. John the Baptist, 33. I'm expecting that. So here's the second thing. And if you learn this, if you learn that, if the summons may come, expect it. The time of my departure, Paul said, is at hand. Job said, I shall go. Now learn this. That the day that I leave, I'm talking to God's children now. I'm not talking to an unconverted man or woman. I'm not talking to an unbeliever. There's nothing but tragedy from the day you're born to the day you meet God in judgment. Your death's a tragedy. Your birth's a tragedy. Your life's a tragedy. You're under the wrath and judgment of a holy God. There's nothing good for you this side of heaven or hell. No hope. I'm talking to believers now. Believers. Now listen to this. Since the day of my summons or my death is determined by the Lord, and it'll come in his own appointed time, for his glory, and it'll be for my good, and it'll be for the good of all those who are associated with me. It'll be for the good of all of the family of God. I shall not die till his pleasure, his purpose, sees fit, and when I do, I need not have any concern for anything or anyone for whom I am responsible, because God's responsibility is far greater than mine. And if it were not for his glory, it wouldn't have taken place. So let me find some comfort here. Not worried about this church. If God were to take me, God's not going to take me till his purpose for me is over. In regard to this church, in regard to my family, in regard to my friends, we are immortal till God sees fit to take us. 1,000 shall fall at thy right hand and 10,000 at thy left hand. It shall not come nigh thee till one thing is settled. Till God decrees to take you. There is no power in hell that can kill me. There isn't a power on this earth. There isn't a germ or a disease. There isn't a power in heaven that can take my life. God said to Satan in regard to Job, do what you will, but don't put your hand on him. And I'm telling you this, let's find some comfort here. If God's pleased to take your daddy or your mother or your son or your daughter or your husband or your wife, so be it. God, if they're believers, if they belong to the Lord, he was through with them on this earth. And nobody in his family is going to suffer. Why, he said, I am old, I have been young, I've never seen God's seed begging bread. Find some comfort in that. If God has set the day of my death, it'll be for my good and the good of all for whom I'm responsible. And the sooner it comes, and the sooner God effects it, the better off all will be, because that's what he's determined. Now, I say, as far as unregenerate people, yes, poor woman, she lost her husband. Poor man, he lost his wife. Poor boy, he lost his daddy. Poor so-and-so, they've lost this. If they know not Christ, but if they know Christ, it's poor nobody. It's the purpose of God is accomplished, the eternal good and well-being and welfare of all concerned in the family of God. That's so now. Whatever length of time it may be, God may leave me here for many, many years. He may take me tomorrow. But I'm telling you this, he knows what he's doing. He never makes a mistake. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? Let's not murmur. Let's not complain. Job said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave. The Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When he reaches down and takes someone, kiss his hand and thank him for it and give him the glory. Let's quit behaving like unbelievers. Let's quit sorrowing as those who have no hope. Let's quit walking and behaving as carnal, natural men. Paul said, I can't feed you with meat. You're on a milk diet. You're carnal. You're natural. I want to feed you with meat. I want to give you the things God would have you have, but you can't digest them. I don't want that to be said about us. If God reaches down here tonight and takes the dearest, closest loved one you have, if you know him, you'll kiss his hand and thank him for it. And you won't go off murmuring, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What are we going to do? All is lost. No, it's not either. Somebody said, where was God when my son died? Same place he was when his son died, on the throne. On the throne. On the throne. And I guarantee you, if that daddy or mother or husband or wife or son or daughter, if that person knows Christ and knows the Lord, their death will be a blessing, as everything he does is a blessing. All things work together for good to them who know God, who love God, who are called according to his purpose. All right, the fourth thing. Job 16, he said, I shall go in a few years. In a few years. I don't care how long it is, it's going to be a few short time. Watch this next thing. I shall go the way whence I shall not return. Could I teach you something there? Would you let me? Would you listen to me for a moment? One of these days, I'm going to walk through that door. Never come back. Never come back. Someday you're going to walk out of that home where you live. Never come back. Someday you're going to walk away from the office where you work. Never come back. Someday you're going to walk out of the door of this church. Never come back. That's what Job's saying. I shall go and not return. Now then. I'll not return to my home. Will you listen to me a moment? The example I've set is set. The attitude that I've had toward those in the home, the way I've treated my wife, the way I've treated my family, the way I've treated my neighbors, the way I've treated my friends, that's it. I'm not going to return to straighten it out. I'm not going to return to make it better. I'm not going to return to change it. It's set. Their memory of me is already set. Their memory of my spirituality, their memory of my emotional balance, their memory of my compassion, their memory of all these things. I'm not going to change it now. I shall go and I'll not return to straighten it out. I'm not going to return to my job or my friends. The memory they have there is fixed. I should have loved and helped, but I didn't. The words I should have said will never be said. The deeds I should have done will never be done. I'm gone. I'll never return. I'll not return to my church. Oh, I thought of all the reasons for not going. Now I can't go. I'll never hear another hymn. I'll never hear another sermon. I'll never hear another warning. I'll never hear another invitation to confess Christ. I shall not return. One day, I'll go through these doors. I'll never come back. Now, what I'm saying is this. Now, if you get a consciousness that you're going to die in a short time, then let me be right now what I want to be, what I expect to be, what I claim to be. If there's anything to do, let me do it. Anything to be said, let me say it. Anything to preach, let me preach it. Let's begin to live with death. Our Lord did. Listen to Him. Mine hour is not yet come. Mine hour is not yet come. He said that over and over again. Our Lord said, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Shall I pray to be delivered from this hour? For this hour came I." This cause came I to this hour. Abraham dwelled in tents, temporary. Everything was temporary with Abraham. He looked for a city. He was marching toward a city. He was going to a city. His aim and object was to inherit a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm going home. After all, that's why God saved me, to take me home. After all, that's why Christ came to the earth and died for me, to take me home. After all, that's why the Holy Spirit came and called me, to take me home. Why do we hold back? Why do we dread it? Why do we act as if the worst thing that could happen to me right now is to go to heaven? Now, you think about that a little bit. The worst thing that could happen to me. Well, preacher, I'm really not thinking of myself. I don't believe that. I think you are. A whole lot. Think about my wife and children. Now, wait a minute. I guarantee you, God's not going to take a believer till it fulfills His purpose for that believer and for that believer's family. That's so. I'm thinking about my church. I feel like I ought to stay in pastor my church. God's not going to take a preacher till it pleases Him for His glory and the good of that church. Take Him. He's on the throne. Let's get the right attitude, right concept. Christ is my Lord. And He's Lord not only of life, but of death. He's Lord of my daylight and my darkness. He's Lord of my youth and my old age. He's the supreme sovereign Lord. Now, He set the day of my death. The summons will come someday. Let's look forward to it. Let's expect it. Let's wait upon it. Let's find comfort in it. Let's rest in His sovereignty, His purpose. He cannot make a mistake. We make the mistakes, not Him. I shall go. Let's turn back to Ecclesiastes and I'll close. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. I shall go. Verse 7, where? Well, the dust is going to return to the earth as it was. And the spirit shall return to God who gave it. Spirit shall return to God. And then one day when Christ comes again, by His grace and by His power, He's going to call all of His people out of the grave. And he's going to raise them. And he's going to make this vile body just like his. And this corruption shall put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. This weakness and shame shall put on strength and glory. Oh, what a day that shall be. What a day. To die for the believer is not to die. If you can look on it as this, it'll help you. You don't mind going into your room at night, say at 11 o'clock, and lying down and going to sleep, do you? Well, for all practical purposes, you're dead. That's right. You're out of communication with the church. You're out of communication with your job, with your work. You're out of communication with your family. For all practical purposes, you're dead. Yeah, but I'm going to wake up in the morning. Exactly what I'm saying. I'm going to wake up in the morning, too. Yes, sir. And it'll be like morning. It'll be just that quick. It'll be just as fast as sleep. The hundreds of years that God is pleased to let this earth go on will be just like that. Why not just lie down? Go on, live your life. Live through. You don't worry about going, being out of communication with your family tonight, do you, while you're asleep? No, I don't worry about that, preacher. Well, you are. You're out of communication with them. You're dead for all practical purposes. You go in at 11 o'clock tonight and get into bed and go to sleep. And your boy's out in his car. Your daughter's out somewhere. They're married. They live down the road somewhere. But you're sleeping. You're not walking. God's walking beside them. God's in the car with them. They're in the hands of the Lord. Go to sleep. Leave them in His hand. His hands are better than your hand. Go to sleep. He giveth His beloved sleep. All right, death is the same thing. It's just not death to die. Christ said, He's asleep. And I'll go tonight, if God willing, or this afternoon, and I'll die and I'll lie down. And they'll take my body just like it's in the bed. They'll put it in the ground. They'll cover it, not with a blanket, but with a blanket of sod. I'll be asleep. My spirit will be with the Lord. And suddenly one day, I'm going to wake up. And what I'll do, you say, what about leave? I'll leave my family where they are anyway, they're in God's hands. And I have no power over automobiles. I have no power over storms. I have no power over anything. I cannot protect my children. I cannot feed my children. God feeds the sparrows, and He feeds you. He clothes the lily, and He clothes you. I'm not doing it. He's doing it. I'm not protecting them. He's protecting them. What are we, heathen? I think we are. I think we got more heathenism than we got Christianity. We think these people are depending on us. Without us, they can do nothing. Without us, they can't function. That's not so. Without God, they can do nothing. My strength and my provisions and my protection is from Him, not from me. And not from you. Sleep. Are we pagans? Let's start thinking about dying. And let's start putting it in its proper perspective. In the hands of the Lord. He's a sovereign God. And He'll take care of all things. You say you act like an indifferent person. No, sir, I'm not. I'm acting like we're supposed to act. Preaching what we're supposed to act. Whether I'm acting that way or not. This is what the Bible says. Take no thought for tomorrow. What you shall eat, drink, or wear. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Have no anxiety. Depression of spirit. To leave it in the hands of the Lord. Can we do that? Just commit it to Him. That's all right, Lord. That's all right. Whatever you do is all right by me. Now, He'll bless that kind of faith. And He'll honor it. He'll use it as a witness and help you encourage other people. And quit walking around with fear and anxiety and depression and concern and care and all these things as if God were depending on you or me. He's not. We're depending on Him. Cast all your cares upon Him. He careth for you. Are those just words? They are till we experience them. They are till we do what they command. Cast your care on Him. Our Father in heaven,
thank thee for thy word. Lord, forgive us. God, forgive us. Forgive us of murmuring and complaining and finding fault, depending so much upon this flesh. Bring us to look to thee for all things, to trust thee, to believe in thee, to wait upon thee. Thou art our God. Thou art our Lord. We have no control over any of the things in thy kingdom. All things are in thy control. In thee we live and move and have our being. Teach us from this scripture today. Make us what we ought to be in attitude, conduct, conversation, faithfulness. Reveal Christ to our hearts more and more each day. In his name we pray. Amen.